Jen Zamperali on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.
Now, just 5 years ago, Ireland was a shining example of road safety in the EU after a 40% reduction in deaths. But sadly, that picture has changed dramatically since then. Primetime have been examining the causes, and reporter Jack McCarron will be on RT1 at 9:35 PM tonight with the results. And you're here with me now to give us a sneak preview. Welcome to the show, Jack. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, Laura. Thanks very much for having me.
It's no problem at all. Jack, what is the situation now in comparison to 5 years ago?
Well, the situation now is that since that period 5 years ago, we have been trending in a very concerning direction. But I just think what's important to point out before we get into those numbers is that when you go back 20 years, Ireland has seen massive improvement when it comes to road fatality. So 20 years ago, more than 350 people died on our roads. And as you said, 5 years ago, we did have our lowest ever fatality number on record. But as you rightly point out, the last number of years has seen a significant disimprovement, and the trend is concerning. And the trend isn't just concerning when we look at Ireland, it's also concerning when we compare ourselves across the EU average. So in early March, the European Commission published a country by country analysis which compared the road deaths per million inhabitants in 2023 against the average of the three pre-pandemic years. And while Ireland's road deaths per million inhabitants is below the EU average, we actually had by far the worst percentage increase of any country. So that's up 29%. And on average, EU countries saw a fall in road deaths, not an increase, by 12%. So that's essentially why we started looking at this. And then when you compare the number of deaths so far this year versus the same period last year, the number is up by over nearly 30%, which is obviously very alarming, and that's why we felt we needed to look into this subject in more depth.
It is very scary. But the traditional view has been that young men speeding is the major issue, but what does the data actually tell us?
Well, the data kind of confirms that point. So when we look at deaths related to speeding, 87% of them are men under the age of 35, or people under the age of 35, I'll just clarify that point. And you mentioned the young men, who are obviously the most at-risk group. That's not new news to anyone, but we wanted to see why that is the case. And so first we looked at the statistics. And since 2019, people aged between 16 and 25 represent about 20% of all road deaths in Ireland, despite making up just 12% of the population. And last year, over a quarter of all road fatalities were in that age group. And again, like we mentioned, when we compare ourselves to 5 years ago, the statistics in this bracket are also very alarming. So the statistics, 30 more people aged between 16 and 25 died on the roads last year versus 2022. So in other words, there were 60 people aged 25 or younger that died on our roads last year. And that was up from 30 the previous year. But like that, they're basic statistics, right? We understand them. But we wanted to try and find out why young men in particular get involved in so many collisions. So we spoke to an assistant professor, Dr. Michael Gormley, at Trinity College, and he actually specialises in driver behaviour, particularly in young males. And that's his whole life's work, essentially. And I don't want to, that's a very important focus of his life's work. And he told us that there's a very particular part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, which is involved in decision making, and it's not fully developed until you're 28. So he gave that as one of the reasons, but he was keen to point out that there's much more complex reasons that go with this as well. He says another train of thought that gets given too much credence is the idea that young men believe themselves to be invulnerable or invincible. But the actual reason for the problematic behaviour in many cases is that young drivers actually have what's called an optimistic bias. And an optimistic bias is basically the mistaken belief that one's chances of experiencing a negative event are lower than their peers. So in other words, they understand the risks, but they don't expect them to happen to them. So if you think about it like smoking or vaping, say, for example, if a young person takes up either and then you ask them, do you think you could quit? They'll probably think they could quit overnight.
Yeah.
But we know that tends not to be the case.
Yeah. Look, I know that we're talking a lot of statistics here and, you know, the percentages and numbers, but at the end of the day, these are people, these are our friends, you know, brothers, sisters, and that is the worrying part. Drink driving is a major factor. And how have attitudes towards it shifted in the wrong direction?
Yeah, well, what surprised me was how much of a factor drink driving actually remains. And I don't know about you, but I kind of naively assumed that because of the perceived stigma around drink driving, it had become less of a problem.
Yeah.
But that is by no means the case. And the latest data from the RSA shows, and I'm going to give you another statistic now, but I'll move past them in a moment.
No, it's not that. It's just reminding ourselves the whole way through that these aren't just statistics and numbers, that these are people at the end of the day too. And I know that. And these are so important, though, just to know exactly what's going on.
Absolutely. But just to give the statistic of road fatalities that are alcohol related. So 37% of all road fatalities remain alcohol related, which is very stark when you think about the number of people that actually represents. And the attitudes you mentioned to drink driving, which, as we said, I kind of thought naively that it wasn't a thing. Do you know, no one's going to openly say they drink drive. But the fact remains, people are engaging in this extremely risky, extremely dangerous behaviour. And in a survey carried out by the RSA into driver behaviour and driver attitudes towards drink driving, 1 in 10 people admitted, now anonymously, but they admitted to having engaged in drink driving last year. So that's, again, a significant number of people who are admitting to engaging in one of the riskiest driver behaviours there are.
Yeah, and we know that it's very risky. But it's not the only drug that's been tested for. Like, they are testing for cocaine and cannabis as well.
Yeah, so around 5 years ago, we started testing for drugs when it comes to driving. And we know that now thousands of people are engaging in this type of behaviour as well. So people are smoking joints, people are taking lines of cocaine and driving to meet friends or go out on nights out. And they are the two most prevalent drugs. So cannabis appears in around 50% of all positive tests for drug driving. Cocaine appears in around a quarter of all tests. So they are the most prevalent. There are other drugs, but they're the tentpole ones. They're the ones that people are using and still driving. And we know that your ability to drive is as badly affected, if not worse, by cannabis and cocaine than drink. It's just as dangerous.
What is the role of speed in this story?
So speeding remains a massive issue. So over a quarter of all fatalities, so that's 1 in 4, have speeding as a contributing factor. And one of the big issues around speeding is the enforcement issue. So are people being stopped? Are people being ticketed? What's the story there? And a new government bill, the new road traffic bill, which is due to go to the president to be signed into law in the coming weeks, is going to make this a central focus. So it's trying to reduce speed limits on roads that aren't safe to drive fast on, essentially. And basically, it's going to allow for lower speed limits in rural and urban areas. So the default speed limit on national and secondary roads, which is 100 kilometres an hour at the minute, is going to be put down to 80 kilometres, and it will be reduced from 80 to 60 on rural and local roads, and from 50 to 30 on roads in rural areas. And what's particularly important with those new laws that are going to be coming in is the speed limit on the rural roads, because we know last year that over 70% of all fatalities happened on rural roads where the speed limit was 80 kilometres or higher. So we know the roads that most fatalities are happening on, and hopefully the new road traffic bill will go some way to addressing that.
Yeah, hopefully he's right. What about with phones and in-car technology? Like, screens are absolutely everywhere nowadays. Like, I'm guilty of, even between songs here, it's an automatic reaction that I just pick up my phone and look at it. Is that much of a factor in driver distraction?
So basically, like, we all know, you know, I know, we know how dangerous drink driving is. Mm-hmm. We know how dangerous speeding is. And most people would probably tell themselves, I'll never engage in that behaviour. I'm never going to speed. I'm never going to drive while I've taken a drink. But I think what people don't really appreciate is just how dangerous distracted driving can be, in particular when you're using your mobile phone. And, like, I'd say if you asked your listeners now, a very high percentage of them, if they were asked anonymously, would probably say they glance at their phone while they're driving, or they change the song, or to change their podcast. But basically, 70% of people actually admit to using their phone while driving. We'd estimate that it's probably a lot higher than that. And Gardaí estimate that distraction, using your phone, for example, is a factor in a third of all crashes. So it's probably not the main factor in many cases. It's a contributing factor. But people are using their phones while they're driving. It is causing people to get into crashes. And so we wanted to try and put this to the test to see just how dangerous it can be. So we went down to Galway, and researchers from the University of Galway put me to the test on a racetrack to gauge my driving while using a mobile phone. And we did 3 laps of a racetrack. And on the first spin round, I was just focused on the task in hand, finishing the lap, driving at the regulated speed. And I zipped around in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, and I kept my eyes on the road for 92% of the total circuit. So fully focused driving, flawless lap, probably deserved to be signed up to a Formula One team after it. But the only noticeable distraction I had was checking the speedometer to make sure I kept myself within the limit. But after that, then I had to complete the same lap while performing certain tasks, including checking my email, writing and sending WhatsApps to my friends, changing the sat nav on a car that I'd never driven before. So the results, they were really stark. Martin from the University of Galway told me afterwards that it was like sitting beside two completely different drivers. But to see the results, your listeners will have to tune into Primetime at 9:35 tonight.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'm really intrigued actually to see what's going on there. Reporter Jack McCarron, thank you so much for coming in. Primetime Road Safety Special is on RT1 tonight and on The Player at 9:35. Jack, where can people follow on socials?
They can follow at RTE_primetime or follow me at Jack McCarron KK. We're sharing a series of articles and videos on social throughout the week, and then obviously we'll put a link up for the piece tonight once it's aired on The Player and on RTE.
Jen Zamparelli on 2FM with Leia Healthcare. Always a beat ahead. Visit leiahealthcare.ie. Leia Healthcare, looking after you always.